Feel like you're stumbling around in the dark when it comes to your relationship with Christ? Then I would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we go to God's Word for focus and direction. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is next. Join us. Hello. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden, located at 8650 Benson Road. We would invite you to join us as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, refers us back to God's Word once again that we might find our grounding in Christ, our encouragement, and our strength to go on day by day in Him. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, thank you for tuning in to Abounding Grace today. If you were with us the past few days, you know we've been working through Matthew chapter 20 in this parable of the workers of the vineyard, where Jesus was really interacting and countering a certain mentality of those in the church who think that they have a right to be there by their own works, by their own righteousness. And the Lord Jesus Christ is really explaining to us in this parable just how wonderful and how magnificent grace really is, because grace means exactly that it has absolutely no view towards us, and actually that we are not deserving of anything that we receive, but God has given those that grace in His vineyard in His sheer mercy. So here we look today at Matthew chapter 20 again, and Jesus was constantly concerned about this because He presents the first kind of worker in the vineyard as one who has to negotiate the wage. It's sort of a cold, contractual sort of thing where there's no real value or understanding of the need to be in the vineyard, the need for the landowner and appreciation for him. That is all set in contrast to what Jesus describes in the latter section of this parable. When we come to verses 3 through 7, of course, you have the direct opposite thing portrayed. The landowner himself seeks to add to his vineyard. And so he goes out at the third hour, and he saw some standing in the marketplace, and we read of him saying, "You also go out into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give to you." So they went. Again, he went about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive." Now, there are some amazing things here. The first thing that stands out is the emphasis, of course, upon the hours emphasis. According to our own hours, the landowner would have gone out at 9 a.m. and 12 p.m. and 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. And what we find in these latter, those ones who come in at the later hours, is that there's no bargaining that takes place. There's no agreement as to wages, simply the statement, "Whatever is right, I will give to you." That is all grace. It's all grace because it's sovereignly given, it's sovereignly decided, and it's sovereignly sought. And what we read about them is this phrase, "So they went." You see the picture presented to you. To become a laborer in Christ's vineyard is the greatest gift. To have a seat in His kingdom, to serve in His house, to labor in His vineyard, that is the most greatest expression of grace and wonderful news that God could do and give to any lost sinner. And that's what we want to see here, is that it wasn't so much that the landowner was primarily concerned about what he could get out of them. The real picture here is that the landowner had come seeking for them to work in his vineyard. It was the fact that the landowner had approached them and what joy it was to have a place in his vineyard. Let me give you a story that really does connect well with this and describes this so perfectly. There was this, when I grew up in a small town in California, there was a young guy there, and his name was Rodney. And he was known in town as the candy man. Rodney had some sort of bad disease. He walked really lopsided and awkward. He was losing his hair. He couldn't do what the average person could do. He was uncomfortable to be around. I'll never forget when I saw Rodney working at the local supermarket. The supermarket, of course, as we as young children would always go in and buy our candy. I'll never forget that one day I saw Rodney working, and the owner of the market had hired Rodney. It struck me because he was so limited in what he could do. He wasn't the kind of person you ever wanted bagging your bags or bagging your groceries because you were concerned about what kind of disease he had. When I read this parable, I thought a lot about Rodney. Because the average person coming and looking for a job in the market, what's the first thing discussed? Well, how much are you going to pay me? The wages have to be worth my time. Has to be worthwhile. Most likely, if the wage wasn't appealing enough, you could go elsewhere, or at least you'd work with a grumbling, complaining spirit in the market, right? There were a lot of bad attitudes in that market. But Rodney was not one. Imagine Rodney standing there, can barely use his body to work, looks terrible, and the owner says to Rodney, "You want a place in my store?" You think Rodney's going to negotiate wages? No way. He's going to be so thankful that the man who approached him, he will jump at the opportunity to work for him, and he's going to receive it with joy. The reason Rodney was known as the candy man in this town I grew up in was because he would take his wages and he would purchase all this candy from the market and take it to everyone in town and give it away. Wow. Every week, right? This is what happens with the preaching of the gospel. Jesus comes with a tender voice and he gives this wonderful call to have a place in his vineyard. And all of this is to say that there are many, 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 many in the vineyard who've lost sight of the fact that anything that we have, any place in Christ's kingdom, is all grace. It's all sovereign grace. And we don't deserve any of it. And what a privilege we have. The beauty is that God has come after laborers. God has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And the privilege by grace we have to be in his kingdom, how awful is the mentality? Now we get at what Peter said. When Peter came to Jesus and said, "You know, Lord, this young man couldn't walk with you, but we've walked with you. He wouldn't cut it. He wouldn't sell all he has and give to the poor. But we have. Lord, we've left all and followed you. What do we get?" Remember he said that at the end of Matthew 19? And that's what launched Jesus into this parable. The question is, Peter, the question is to you, radio listener, what do you deserve? See, we're probed, aren't we? Because similar nature is the parable when Jesus invited all these people to, when Jesus represents this king inviting all these people to his great feast, and they all made excuses not to come. So the king was angry. And he invited the blind, the lame, the poor, and the maimed, the Rodneys. You can sure understand why Jesus said, bracketing this parable, "The last will be first, and the first last." Those who are so incapacitated compared to everyone else, and yet are welcomed into the vineyard, are going to appreciate, and they're going to marvel at the landowner, aren't they? They're going to be overwhelmed by the grace of the landowner. There will be a joy to labor for the landowner. Look at what kind of owner he is. Those who are poor in spirit, those who feel the weight of being apart from the vineyard, will be overwhelmed with such a call. Do you know this Christ who pulls sinners off sin's dark path and gives grace to lift them up out of the valley of the shadow of death, and then sustains them? A grace that gives promise after promise in the gospel that your sins are forgiven and that you have everlasting life, that your Savior constantly intercedes and now has given you a place in his kingdom. Have you known him in this kind of saving power? It's the Rodneys who will be saved. What sort of person do we really represent? Jesus holds this out to Peter, doesn't he? Jesus holds this out. You know, one pastor said, it's all too right when he spoke of the ignorance of how grace is understood in our day. He said this, Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. But many church people are not like this. They may pay lip service to the idea of grace, but there they stop. The thought means nothing to them. It doesn't touch their experience at all. He goes on to say, talk to them about the church's heating or last year's accounts, and they are with you at once. But speak to them about the realities to which the word grace points, and their attitude is one of differential blankness. Is that true? That's a shocking comment by this pastor. See, Jesus leaves us with this thought. Think about what's pictured before you here, my friends. Imagine hiring someone if you're an owner of a business. Imagine hiring someone at 5 o'clock when the workday ends at 6. How much does it say of the unspeakable mercy and grace of the landowner who would hire for only 1 hour of work? I mean, imagine hiring someone at 5:59. You know what this says? It says that the landowner didn't care about what he could get out of it, how much profit the servant would bring to him. He cared more about the fact that the servant stood outside the vineyard. And so should we. You know, I'm not sure that anything could picture the love of Christ stronger today when we see here Christ going after sinners and bringing them sovereignly by his grace and power into his vineyard to have a place. What a picture of the sovereignty of God, the love of God. And Jesus leaves us this to consider in verse 8. When evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his servant, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. Now, when he hired the servants later in the day, the landowner had said, I will give you whatever's right. We might therefore expect them to receive less than those who started early in the morning hours. What we find in verse 9 is that even the ones who came in at the 11th hour received a denarius. But when the first came, we read, they complained because they thought they would receive more. They complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the heat of the day. And he answered one of them. Notice that's a play to Peter. Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree for a denarius? These laborers, as you see, had not understood what the gospel really is about. We must look to Christ. We must recognize that anything we have today is all grace, not any of our works. We must put our confidence in his precious blood and righteousness for life. Thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace, and we give you a sincere invite to join us for worship this Sunday at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible will be opened and is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We proclaim this Christ in season, out of season. You can go to our website, lindenurc.com, or give us a call, 318-0429. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.